Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This headline comes your way at 3:29. Time to call Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. Why pay 40% when you can pay 25%? Call 888-98-TWINS. Man, up and down kind of day for the Pitt Athletic Department. A soccer team makes the Final Four. They just shut out Washington 3-0. But Jeff Capel's basketball team, my goodness. Things go from bad to worse. Efton Reed picks LSU. And now Justin Champagne is officially in the NBA draft. He signs an agent. No one knows the Pitt program better than Jeff Hathorne here from 93.7thefan.com. You hear him on Pitt Games, fills in for Bill Hillgrove, does the Jeff Capel show. He's with us now to talk about what's happened here over the last 48 hours or so. Jeff, let's start with Champagne. Did Pitt think this was going to happen the whole way through, that once he declared he was going to stay in the draft?
They really didn't know it at the start. You know, they don't know what kind of evaluations that he's going to get from his camp, and Jeff Capel hadn't taken the time to kind of evaluate from the people that he talked to. Obviously, there was concern that he might. I think they prepared themselves for this happening. But how do you truly prepare yourself on the court for a guy of this talent to leave you when you're trying to build something? That's obviously the tough thing and the big question they're going to be dealing with here over the next, well, not just a few months, but maybe a couple of years.
Jeff, the thing that gets me about it is, if you've got a guy, if you're a really successful program and guys jump to the league after a year or two, kind of almost say that's the hallmark of what we want from the program. Players that, you know, other people who are 16, 17 years old see, okay, they go to Pitt and then they go to the league and that's what I want to do. But if you're Pitt, it's just impossible, I think, to sort of blunt the optics of a bunch of really high-profile players. Basically, your four best players, I would argue, for the last, 3 years are all gone now, either transferred or declared. It does not seem like, other than the veneer and the gloss that comes with Jeff Capel's name and where he was the assistant coach before he came to Pitt, it does not seem like things are all that much better than they were when Kevin Stallings left this program. I know they've got more wins, but where's the program headed?
Yeah, you have to question where the talent is right now. You're right. They lost their four best players. Do they have guys that can step up? Can they play a team game? Can they do? I mean, they're not more talented than they were last year. So that is obviously an issue. And they brought in a couple of transfers, but not one transfer that's going to, you know, blow your mind away that, oh, this person can come in and be this. He had to be honest to Champagne. The worst thing Capel could have done is be dishonest or try to beg him to stay or get him to stay under some guilt, because that reputation is not anything that's going to help you from a recruiting standpoint. And I think Capel was honest with Champagne as far as his NBA stock. But, yeah, when you look at what's left with this program, I mean, they're starting over again a few years into Capel's coaching tenure here at Pitt.
And what is his NBA stock, Jeff?
It's not – so I went through a series of mock drafts in a story we're going to have up on the website here soon. Not one of those that do two-round projections, not one has Champagne being drafted. The highest rating he had is from – yes, not one has him being drafted. The highest rating is ESPN has him 20 or 66th. Obviously, it's a 60-pick draft in the NBA. but that's the highest.
So when you say that Jeff Capel had to be honest to Champagne and not beg for him to stay, couldn't he have been honest with him and say, look, you're probably a second round pick at best. You should come back. I don't think that's him being selfish. That's being honest.
No, and I don't know what Capel told him, but maybe he did tell him that. But what Champagne is seeing, and you know, we're looking at mock drafts, which obviously are an educated guess of what may happen. There may be other people that are obviously there are other people that are telling him he could go higher, or as a free agent he could pick his place and still have a good shot in the NBA. I think this is what it came down to for Justin Champagne. Two things. One, he always wanted to provide for his family, and he wanted to do that as soon as possible. And two, he's avoided two major knee injuries, two scares with his knee. If he were to come back this year, blow out an ACL, that's a year of recovery. Who knows where his game is at after that point. I think that played a huge factor in his decision to decide to go to the NBA now.
I understand that, Jeff, and I'm sympathetic to the reasons you just listed. I am, and I'm sure they weigh heavily on somebody like that, but I look at him and I think, here's a guy, granted, we saw this kind of go bad at West Virginia when a player came back and tried to do things on the court that he thought would make him more attractive to NBA scouts and shoot more threes and what have you down there, and then Huggy wasn't very happy with any of that.
Who, Kanate?
Yeah, Sag Kanate deciding he was going to become a perimeter player. But I just would have thought Justin Champagne, 6'6", good athlete, come back and try to become a better outside shooter, and you make yourself infinitely more, I think, appealing to NBA teams. I mean, even second, you say he's not even on these mock drafts. At best, he's 66th. To say nothing of like that alone, second round picks don't even get guaranteed deals in the NBA.
Right.
So he's pretty far away at 66. It's not just like, oh, maybe he'll get drafted at the end of the second round. No, he's like 30 or your 35 spots from being in safe harbor here. He'd have to get lucky that a team would just love him and overpick him.
And Chris, I agree with you. If it's my advice to Champagne, come back another year. You had a great year in the ACC last year. You're going to be the number one scorer. Yes, you're going to face double teams and you're going to face the brunt of opposing defenses, but you have the opportunity to have unlimited offensive opportunities with Pitt. I mean, you're going to be the guy, without a doubt, at Pitt, and a chance to build that draft stock. He has decided to go, again, I think, finding the money right now, and the two knee injuries weighed heavily in that decision.
All right, let's now talk about the other guy. So Pitt has not, you know, landed a lot of five-star recruits, and the Sefton Reed kid is a big man that has NBA prospects, would be their best big man since Steven Adams. And he had narrowed it down to what, Jeff? Pitt, LSU, and Florida State?
Ohio State was also.
Ohio State. Okay, you got to make sure you get that in, of course.
That's right.
And he picks.
So this is doubly tough for Jeff.
and he picks LSU at the 11th hour. And Pitt fans are furious. Kale Berger tweeted out that Efton Reed was going to Pitt on Friday. So what changed, Jeff?
No.
You retweeted a tweet that said that.
We went through this. They can go back on the podcast page and hear my case.
But you tweeted out something that said Efton Reed had picked Pitt. True or false?
False.
Well, the tweet was false. But you tweeted it and then had to delete the tweet.
I retweeted a fake account.
Okay. So what happened, Jeff?
So it's not obviously what they wanted. And, you know, he was going to make a decision. And then his mom stepped in and said, no, we're not going to make the decision now. I don't trust anything Will Wade does. I mean,
the LSU
speculate,
coach.
Right. I could speculate on whatever, but it seemed odd that, you know, I think of the movie Blue Chips. Like, was there a new tractor that showed up at their house? Like, I don't know what the deal was, but they were able to land Efton Reed. That would have been a big get.
But couldn't you make the argument the other way without, like, bringing up the, like, you know, wink, wink nature of college basketball and what goes on? Couldn't you make the argument that if a guy like this picked Pitt over those other schools, it would raise questions?
What?
Right?
Anyone could point at any fan base.
No,
or at,
No, but I'm just
saying.
Are
those really blue blood schools that he would be picking Pitt over, though? Like, Florida State's a very good program, but I don't look at any of those and
say,
oh,
he picked Pitt.
Ohio
State was a 2-seed in the NCAA tournament last year.
So what? I don't look at it like him picking Pitt over Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky. I mean, seriously, though, none of those programs is a blue blood. There's some Hall of Very Goods there and some very good programs, but no, it would not raise my suspicions.
They were all in the tournament last year.
I think one thing that you find that's tougher and tougher to do is to get that guy to take a leap, is to get that huge player to take a leap. And LSU at least has been in the tournament the last couple of years. And, you know, there's an opportunity in the SEC for them to be in the tournament again next year, be in the NCAAs. I don't know if a one-year player wants to come to a place that he's not sure of. Like, they are not drawn to the let's rebuild this program or I could be part of something great because they're only going to be there for 1 year.
Yeah, that's my point.
I would think the appeal, though, could be you get to be the man.
But maybe you question who's around you, whereas at other schools that are deeper, especially than Pitt right now, then you don't have that question.
All right, so where does this now leave Capel, Jeff? Where is he now? Like, is there legitimate concern about him as Pitt coach? Is the administration and the athletic department now, like, starting to reconsider and think about his status as coach? What's going on that front?
So he'll have this year to see what will happen when he hits the court with, you know, Ithiel Horton and Oda Kali and Noah Collier and William Jeffress. And maybe if John Hughley can work his way back onto the roster and Nike Sabandi, you know, those are the guys off the top of my head that I think are on the Pitt roster, plus a couple of transfers. So he's going to have to work something that's really outstanding, or at least get some kids to believe so he can rebuild some momentum. I mean, I felt like they had a little momentum going with the transfers and the loss of Justin Champagne. I wouldn't say it's a rebuild, but it's
well. Then what is it?
It's a refit of a roster and a try to keep momentum going for this team. Last year was a weird year, so a lot of people you can throw out. Whatever. This coming year, obviously, he's got young players that are going to have to produce right away because you're getting to the point where if they don't start having better success, you're going to be looking for a new coach.
Jeff, when you think of Capel as a coach, like on the court, what is his best attribute? Because when I'm hearing you describe what next year is going to have to look like for them, like a refitting of this roster and kind of, okay, you're moving pieces around, trying to figure out the best fits and the best, you know, five-man lineup you can put out, who works well off the bench. I think of tacticians like a John Beilein, a guy that always seemed to get more out of lesser talent maybe on paper and would coach him up. Do you get the sense that Jeff Capel is that guy, or his greatest strengths lie elsewhere than maybe tactics and sort of putting his team in a more favorable situation during those 40 minutes that they're actually playing?
It's interesting you say this. We had this discussion last year during the season, and kind of the consensus was, I don't know if he's had a roster to where you could truly compare him as a tactician or as a game coach to other coaches because he hasn't had the same amount of talent. I mean, there have been some games where I thought his game plan has been really solid, and they've either won or maybe a guy misses a key shot or misses whatever that had nothing to do with the coaching. I don't know what type of game coach he is because I don't think he's had the talent to show what he can do as a coach. They've had some nice wins. They've had some really tough losses. I mean, I think the book is still out is the best way I could say for Jeff Capel at Pitt.
And read more on 93.7thefan.com, including Jeff's review of where Justin Champagne now goes from here and what Pitt does without their best player next season. Jeff, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7thefan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Coming up next, you disagree with our predictions. You think we get them wrong. Wait till you hear something that got dug up today from a Pittsburgh guy, from a former Steeler, his take on a player that will blow your mind. It's the PM Team on the Fan. Oh, oh, oh,
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.